Well, thank you so much for you know, calling and joining me today. This is awesome.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And if you hear weird breathing, my cat is on my shoulders and neck, and it's my cat, not me.
It's not you.
Yes.
That you swear. You stand by that. That's your excuse.
Yeah,
I love it.
My story.
Yeah, I love it. So you're coming to Calgary. This is pretty cool.
I am coming to Calgary, yes. I'm coming, I'm getting there tomorrow. No, wait, are we taping already? Is it pre-taping? I arrived Thursday, whatever the right answer is.
And so tell me about this rock opera that you've written and you're starring in.
Yes, here's the funny thing. I can't write or sing, but I wrote it on guitar. I can't play guitar either. So I taught myself when I was 32 many years ago, and I'm very bad, but just enough to learn to write songs. And I've always loved rock operas. I've loved Jesus Christ Superstar and Tommy when I was like a teenager. Those were very important to me. And I always liked those. And then instead of just writing bad pop songs, I thought to myself, why don't I really torture the audience and write a whole hour rock opera where all you do is sing? And it's based on a true story that happened to me and Dave Foley in the early 90s.
Oh, really? What, can you share the story, or do you want it to be a surprise?
I don't mind it not being a surprise. It's not even an A and B, just one thing. I don't mind it not being a surprise, but I figure if the audience that wants to come and see me sees it, then I won't be canceled. If I say it on a radio show, what it's about, I might be in trouble.
Oh, really? It's one of those stories. Okay.
I'm exaggerating for comic effect, but it is. There is a thing that happens that's a true story that I guess for the surprise, I shouldn't say. But I can tell you vaguely, it is vaguely about, I had a girlfriend at the time, who my nickname for her is Cheater. And there's a lot of songs with the word cheater, and so it's sort of about a relationship. She splits up with me for the eighth time, and then Dave Foley and I have to go to New York. This is a true story. Do the Joan Rivers show. Something big happens, and then I go back and try to work it out with Cheater. And that's basically the vague premise.
Sounds good. Okay, and lots of music, obviously, because it's a rock opera.
Yeah, all music, but the audience, everyone else there can sing, and the guitarist can really play guitar. Unfortunately, I have the biggest part, so I'll be singing the most. So I apologize for that.
You apologize ahead of time. Okay,
yes,
gotcha. Oh, okay, I know that you're also featuring the Kinkonauts. Now, what are the Kinkonauts?
The Kinkonauts, aren't they big in Calgary? You should know them. They're an improv troupe, and they work out of a theater that they rent from. And this is like my third time working with them. They're very good improvisers. They love improv, maybe too much. They love improv, and they'll be helping me with the rock opera. And it's a big show. It's too big. If you get a good sleep, if you want to come to the show, there's the rock opera, which is about an hour. Then we take intermission, and then we improvise. Hopefully for less time than an hour, hopefully for only like 30 or 40 minutes. And again, I may not be a good improviser, but I'll be protected and safe for the Kinkonauts, who are good improvisers.
There you go. Okay, you're selling yourself short, my friend, because everyone knows you, of course, from Kids in the Hall and your skills on stage, you know, starting at the Rivoli and then, of course, on television and on stages and now on Amazon Prime with a brand. So how has it been over the years that you guys keep, you know, colliding with each other and creating such great comedy?
Well, I met Dave in the early 80s, and then one by one we met the other guys. And I was just thinking the other day about how, I grew up in Mississauga, Ontario, a suburb outside, just like right outside of Toronto. It's practically Toronto, only it's got bushes and fences. And there's no one, I made friends and stuff, but there was no one that spoke my language. And then I met Dave Foley, and he's the first one that spoke my language. That we were funny about the same things, we laughed about the same things, we liked the same movies, the same songs. No one, when I was a teenager, people thought Elvis Costello was too punk. No one, they all liked Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, who are good. I'm not saying they're not, but Dave Foley was the first one that I met that liked Elvis Costello. Just that as an example. And one by one, the others were like that too. And then we just speak the same language. And I get along with them better than any wife I've ever had. And so over the years, you can't take that away. Sure, we fight like married couples do, even though there's five of us, but we love each other. And I always say lovers and girlfriends and boyfriends and wives and husbands will come and go, but we're the ones that are guaranteed that we'll be at all our funerals. And and we're still funny, so nothing's much changed except that we have more lines in our faces.
And you're guaranteed to have at least one person at your funeral.
Yes.
At least
yes.
One, well, if not four.
I could be the last. I'm not saying I'm the healthiest, but I have these smoothies every day that are pretty good. And
So what does Kevin McDonald do, you know, in between Kids in the Hall and writing rock operas?
Well, the thing I'm most excited about now, one thing is I'm doing the rock opera a lot because I'm rewriting it after every time I do it. And I'm going to play a good theater in New York one night, the Bell House in Brooklyn. And then my plan is to make it like an off-Broadway show, at least play a few weeks there. So that's one little thing. That's more for fun. And then the other, this is also for fun, but it's hopefully the start of a new career, even though I'm old. I've written a movie that I'm in talks with getting produced, and I'm going to co-direct it and star in it. And I wanted to do this in my 20s. I want to be like Albert Brooks, a guy who writes, directs, and stars in his own movies. So I just turned 61. But Frank Lloyd Wright, the great architect, did his best work in his 60s and 70s. So that's my idol. So that's the most exciting. And, of course, every weekend I go to different cities. To keep the money in and to have fun. It's always fun. I don't make money with anything that isn't fun. And I teach workshops during the day, and I do different shows at night. Nice. I'll be teaching workshops here in Calgary during the day, and then I'll be doing that rock opera / improv show.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I also know,
so don't
Kevin.
Worry about me. I'm having fun.
That's good. That's good. And so, Kevin, I know you and, well, the whole gang from the Kids in the Hall, you're going to be coming to the Calgary yes. Comic and Entertainment Expo.
I'll be there a month later. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple times in Calgary in the next, 4 or 5 weeks here, which is awesome. So what is probably the top question you get asked, when you meet fans?
Wow. I don't know. If it's a question and answer thing, they'll ask me stuff like, what's my favorite character? But you know what we used to hear a lot? Now we're old, so we don't get this. But in the 80s and 90s, this was the question we got the most. Do you guys live together? Like, we were like the monkeys, like living in bunk beds or something. I always thought that was funny. We heard that a lot. Do you guys live in the same house together? Like, just the five of us. We'd kill each other.
I was going to say, what would that be like?
It'd be horrible. I mean, we wouldn't be able to, again, like married couples who work together. I think some of them last, but it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, I bet. Who would be the messiest in the house?
Scott Thompson.
For sure.
Well, no. Scott Thompson, Bruce McCullough. Do I have time to tell you this quick story about how messy Scott Thompson and Bruce McCullough are?
Yes, of course you do.
It takes place close to Calgary in Edmonton. They messed up Edmonton, not Calgary, in 1987, right before we were going to go to New York and work with Lorne Michaels. We had the summer to do fringe festivals, and we went to the Edmonton Fringe Festival. And the little clean British guys, Mark, Dave, and I, we shared one room, and the two pigs, Scott and Bruce, they're just pigs. They stayed in their room, and they never cleaned up, and they put the Do Not Disturb sign on even when they weren't there. So the place got there were things I'm sure that are illegal, and smells and stains. It was horrible. You could smell it from the. And finally, even they thought, oh, we should have it clean. So they took the Do Not Disturb sign off. And then a few hours later, I was walking past their room. And the housekeeper was crying, and the hotel manager was saying, Crystal, you have to go in there and clean it. It's your job. And she said, I have three kids and no husband, and I still would rather be fired than go in that room.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous. That's so
true
good.
Story. Is it true? Even her name, Crystal. I remember
that. Oh, that's funny. It's amazing what sticks in your brain, right, that you remember?
Yes.
It really is. It really is. You get asked about characters. You get asked about living together. Is there any other common theme or thread in the questions that you get when you meet fans?
I think a common thread is that there's hope that we'll never split up, that we'll stay immortal, and there won't be any funerals in our future, and then we'll never split up. Like they always say, what's it like when you guys get back together? They think that we split up and then we get back together every 3 or 4 years we do a tour or a TV show or a miniseries or the next thing we might do is a movie or something. But it's not like we've never split up. I mean, there was after Brain Candy, there was some we didn't know what was going to happen because Brain Candy bombed and it seemed like everything was stopping. But then a couple years later, we did our first like big tour. Everyone's always afraid that we're going to split up. We're not going to split up. Even when we do start dying, the other ones of us will hang out. We won't do the Kids in the Hall anymore because we're not like the Rolling Stones. We can't replace Bill Wyman. We're all like it's the five of us or nothing. But I thought that with Monty Python, I thought they would just go on forever and ever and never die and never split up. And we'll never split up. We'll just die. I promise.
Okay. I guess we'll have to hold you to that promise.
I think that one will be easy.
As morbid as that promise is, there you go. Very good. And last thing, Kevin, if you don't mind answering, I mean, is there one memory that sticks out in your mind that always comes back whenever you think of, you know, the early days as the Kids in the Hall?
Oh, there's so many. I guess I've said this story a lot, but meeting Dave Foley is the thing that I remember the most because I was like in the Second City workshop. I was, I guess I had just turned 20 and I'd been there for a year, so I felt old. And I was there for a year. Everybody else was over 35 and they weren't funny and I was funny. And for the past year, I had made a friend, another teenager named Mike Myers, but he was so good. He got discovered and he got hired. He was only two teenagers ever got hired for Second City, Catherine O'Hara and Mike Myers. And I was a lumpy potato of potential. I was good, but he was as good as he always was. But anyway, he left. So my very first class without him, I was kind of lonely. And then another teenager came in. Dave was 18. And he, and just by coincidence, by the fact that he saw that I was the only young person there, he sat next to me. We didn't talk or anything. And then the class began, and the teacher got us into groups of two. There were like 30 people in the class, and we got into groups of two, and we had to do the mirror exercise, the famous acting thing, where you mirror each other's movements. And everybody else was doing it like real actors. And Dave and I, we hadn't talked to each other yet. And we started mirroring each other's movements in funny ways. We started doing funny movements and funny faces. And then we started slowly going to the floor. Then on the floor, we pretended that Dave was giving birth to me. And then, and then after that, we started crawling towards the door. And by pure chance, someone else, some late student, opened the door so they can get in. And there was an open door, so Dave and I crawled to the street. And we were out on the sidewalk, like crawling around. And then the teacher, we saw him through the window, very angry at us, waving us to come back in. And you could tell, you could read his lips that he was swearing at us. And then we came back in and we laughed our heads off. And then by the end of the workshop, he had done improvs. Dave Foley had done improvs where I knew that he was as funny as I thought he was. And I had a good day that day too, luckily enough. So he knew that I was funny. And afterwards, when the class was over, I didn't know his name. And I went to him and I asked him if he would join my comedy troupe. I didn't have a comedy troupe. And he said, yes, that sounds like fun. And then I called my friend Luciano Casimiri. He said, we have to start that comedy troupe we were talking about. I just found a guy. He's better than Mike Myers. And that's how the original Kids in the Hall started. And that's the memory. There's millions and millions of memories, good and bad. But that's the one, when I think of the Kids in the Hall, it's sort of the start of it, the order of it. So I remember that first.
So Dave giving birth to you, that sticks out in your mind.
Dave giving birth to me and us going out in Toronto and like in a cold October day.
And the teacher swearing at you and gesturing to come back in. I love it.
Yeah, gesturing to get back in.
Oh, I love it. Kevin, thank you so much. Anything else we need to know about the rock opera before I let you go today?
Yes, it starts at a certain time that I forget. Is it 8 o'clock? Somewhere between 7 and 1 a.m. the rock opera starts. And like I said, the second half is improv. If the rock opera bombs, we have a chance to save it with good old-fashioned improv. Of course, it's all made up, nothing scripted. I'll be there. I'll try. I do this thing now. I challenge myself because improv scares me. But I figure people are coming to see me, and it's good for me artistically in a way that I make sure that I'm in every scene now, which means I'm sorry.
Kevin, a whirlwind of energy, my friend. Thank you for this conversation today. I appreciate it. Thank you. And before I let you go, where's home now? Where does Kevin McDonald hang out?
I accidentally live in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Nice. Nice.
I moved there from Los Angeles. I met a woman 11 years ago in Winnipeg at the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. So now I live in Winnipeg. I'm not far from you.
Home to Winnipeg. There, we're going to Winnipeg. There you
go. We're going to Winnipeg from Los Angeles.
Good stuff, Kevin. Thanks for thanks for making time for me today. I really appreciate it. And the rock opera sounds amazing. And looking forward to seeing you again at the Comic Expo here in the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll see you a lot, I promise.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.